Bill with you until two, and it's gadget time. The gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp, in da proverbial house. How are you doing, Fevzi?
I am in the house, and I just shut the window as well to make sure.
Yeah,
there's
he's
no
in
noise.
The real house as well as the
I'm
proverbial
in the real
one.
House, yeah,
he's all over.
And I'm talking to you through the round window.
Are you?
Yes.
I was always a fan of the arched. I always wanted to be the arched window, and I didn't think it was that as often as the others. But that's probably because it's the one I wanted, and therefore, you know, I don't know. Anyway,
what was the round toy? Was it Humpty?
There was Humpty. Yes, there was Humpty and Jemima. And
which was the scary doll that looked
Hamble.
Like the stuff that,
oh, Hamble didn't like Hamble.
Hamble looked like her head came off.
Nobody liked Hamble, no. Quick, stick her behind Big and Little Ted. They're all right. Yes. Anyway, this is nothing at all to do with the Gadget Detective, which is what he is. You can find him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective, and you can get his podcasts for free, gadgetdetective.com, or in all the usual ways that you get your podcast. I guess we're starting, as usual, with your news story of the week. So what has caught your eye in the techie world?
Yep. Okay, so it's the European Union's preparation for AI. They are working on the final version of something which is called the AI Act. It will basically it's a framework to try and be ready for what's coming. And there was an interesting interview given to the BBC from the EU's competition chief, who believes that discrimination is a more pressing concern than human extinction in the context of advancing AI. So she's calling for guardrails. She points out that AI systems will increasingly be used to make decisions that affect our lives, so that instead of a bank manager deciding whether you get a mortgage, it will be an AI system. I have to say, those sorts of points-based systems have been in place for a while, but I think what we're moving towards is taking humans out of the equation pretty much altogether in terms of decision-making.
Well, I thought the whole idea was that if you had AI doing, you know, sentencing for crimes and giving people jobs, that would take the discrimination out of it, because we all have our likes and dislikes, whether we admit it or not, isn't it?
I think, yeah, so it's interesting. I think what you get with AI, potentially, is consistency.
Yeah.
But so you don't get the sort of thing. So if you're thinking about judges, for example, you don't get such, you know, varying judgments from the same cases, but
sure.
That's not to say that a consistent judgment still can't be biased against certain groups of people. And the background to that is the way AI systems are work is they're trained on data. They learn, but you know, just like the rest of us, we're trained by what we absorb over a lifetime, or what they're trained in before they become an expert in whatever it is they're an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is bias in the data, then that bias is transmitted into their decisions and, in fact, amplified by them. So if they look at, you know, sentencing and there tends to be, because they look for patterns, right? Even if we discriminate in ways that we don't necessarily are not consciously aware of, they will still spot those patterns. So, for example, if more black people get jailed for certain crimes than white people, as an example, an AI judge could jail more black people because it's found.
So, very, very careful what you feed into them at the start. You know, to get that right or wrong decides on years and years into the future, unless you undo it all.
And some of it, you know, because a lot of biases we're not aware of. But you know, as I say, because these things can do things on a wholesale scale, any biases in there are multiplied because, you know, they'll get through all the backlog, but there'll be bias doing it. And it's also certain technologies are not designed to be biased, but just because of the way they work. For example, biometrics, things like facial recognition, works much less accurately on people with darker skin.
Fascinating.
Well, if you think about it, it's to do with contrast in an image that, you know, to take a photograph of a darker skin and have the same level of contrast is more challenging. It's not to say it can't be done, it's more challenging.
Right.
Therefore, there are more cases of people being misrecognized by AI and AI image recognition. So where you've got the Metropolitan Police and other police forces now using this technology in the street to recognize people as they go about their business, and they are doing this, and there's no legal framework to control it, by the way, they are far more likely to, these systems are far more likely to misrecognize black faces than white faces, which by extension could mean that they're far more likely to be falsely arrested and you know, carted off. So there are all sorts of problems, and I think I'm quite encouraged by what the EU is doing, and they've taken quite a pragmatic approach. They said it doesn't need to be perfect. It can't be perfect because it's brand new, they're legislators, and it's a moving target anyway. But the fact that they're trying to do this, and the EU is fast becoming a touchstone, if not a model, for other countries and groups. So, for example, the Americans have started to adopt the basic principles of GDPR, for example, for data privacy. I hope that this country will adopt similar laws. At the moment, I was a bit worried. I heard our illustrious Prime Minister talk about the great opportunities AI brought, and of course they do. He's quite right. But I just, you know, where you've got problems with the NHS and problems with education, problems with this, it worries me that politicians may hold up AI as a panacea, which it isn't. And, you know, you can't have years of underinvestment in a service and say, okay, we're going to AI, it'll be fine. It won't be. Unless you put the AI in charge of planning it and give it an appropriate budget, in which case that would be interesting.
That'd be one word for it, yes. Do you know this person, Margrethe Vestager, or Vestager, who is the EU head on this?
Well, I know that she's, the EU's competition chief. I don't know her personally.
Because the problem we've talked about in the past is that all people, you know, with the best will in the world are trying to keep up with this. But if you're just a layman who's been elected to some official capacity, you just don't have the level of knowledge that you do, which is why I always say you should be at the heart of these things, you know, explaining it like you explain it to us every Saturday. But
I think she's pretty switched on. I mean, from what I've seen in the interview, she's kind of aware. I also, just as an adjunct, I saw an interview recently with the chap inside the EU who's responsible for combating disinformation campaigns against our populations. And he spoke very intelligently about it. And he explained, even when things are not untrue, but you can give things a prominence and spin them in a way that mislead people. And he was talking about the need to educate our populations. And this is something that I think I've told you this before, that Finland has been doing this for more than a generation. Finland, because of its geography and its history, has been subject to disinformation from neighbouring states for some time. And they treat disinformation campaigns as an illness, and they think of vaccination, and the vaccination against disinformation is education, that you educate people that disinformation exists, how to spot it, basically give them some of the basic principles that a journalist would apply, you know, try and verify your source, try to replicate that information from another source, check the picture, does the picture pertain to me, who is the source, look up the person, all these sorts of things, you know, and it's quite interesting because they're quite adept at, you know, they're not basket cases, and unfortunately some countries are becoming basket cases because the populations are ill prepared for the onslaught. And the problem with that at the moment, that's all done by what's called troll farms. So people, groups of people sitting at computers in rooms. Digital sweatshops, where they're churning out. But with AI, oh my God, you know, it could be done wholesale. And it will look better. It will be more convincing. The images. There was a photograph the other day that won a major photographic competition. And after it won, the person who submitted it, who was purported to be the photographer, admitted it wasn't even a photograph at all. It was AI generated. They then took the prize away. But the fact that a photographic competition can't even tell when something is a photo. So it just means that we have photos that are convincing fakes, not just Photoshop, but completely created. You have the voice of famous people recreated to say anything you like, and then lip sync to a video that doesn't exist, never happens.
Normally at this point I say, well, I think we need to think about things like cute videos of cute kittens at this point. And funnily enough, today, In one of Fevzi's gadgets of the week, we've almost got that, all to be explained in just a second. We're talking technology with the gadget detective Fevzi Turkout. We must get on to gadget number two this week, Fevzi, for reasons which I've just sort of hinted at. But first of all, we've got the Logitech MX Keys 5 combo.
MX Keys S combo.
Oh, my poor old eyes.
No, that's fine. It's perfectly understandable.
Looks similar.
I may even have mistyped it.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
So, this is a bundle for use with computers and tablets and smartphones from Logitech. I've said in the past, I think Logitech produced, in my personal opinion, the highest quality accessories going. And in fact, when I use Apple Mac computers and iPads, I actually use Logitech in preference to Apple's own offerings. So it is at the pinnacle. It's priced accordingly, but really good quality. So this is a combo bundle. It's just been released. So it's called the MX Keys S Combo. It's made up of three components. It's got the MX Master 3S, which I think is probably the best mouse ever made. The MX Keys S, which is a brand new keyboard. So it's a computer QWERTY keyboard, typewriter style keyboard with a numeric keypad on the right hand side for it. And they've thrown in an MX palm rest as well, which is actually really good. And I often think that we overlook ergonomics when we choose computers. When we choose computers, it's all bits and bytes and megahertz and gigahertz and all the rest of it, and we forget that we're human beings that have to interact with them often for hours on end, and things like carpal tunnel syndrome are a real problem. It's quite interesting what stresses our interaction with technology puts on us, because increasingly we have voice input as well, which is great, but I find sometimes I get a little bit hoarse when I speak too much to the computer. But a combination of keyboard input and voice input, I think, is ideal. So this keyboard, first of all, if we start with this is an update of an existing keyboard that they have. It's got some really nice things. So first of all, it's wireless. Second, it's backlit, which is really nice, because if when the light dims a bit, or if like me you tend to work quite late, it's clever. But what it does is it doesn't light the keys until it detects your hand approaching the keyboard, and then the keys light up.
Oh, how cool. I love it.
It's got an ambient light sensor, so it won't fire up during the daytime, and the intensity of the light depends upon the settings, but also how much light there is in the room as well, and how long the keys stay lit for once you remove your hands for it. It's all programmable now. Mm-hmm. The other lovely thing about both this keyboard and mouse is they're designed to work they're compatible with many different computer systems. So it works with Windows, Mac, Android, iPad OS, Chromebooks, all of this sort of thing. So you could, and you can switch between them. So there's three buttons on it, and you say, computer one, computer two, computer three. So computer one could be your MacBook laptop, computer two could be your Windows desktop, and computer three could be your iPad. And you switch between them, so you can just operate all three devices with the same keyboard and the same mouse. And with their Flow software, you can even drag and drop between them, so you could create a document on your Windows PC and then drag it across to your Mac and finish it there or work on it there, you can just pull things all the way across. The other thing they've done is they've changed the mouse. The mouse, the 3S, is the clicks on it are quiet. It's very ergonomically designed. Again, unfortunately, I think this is only for right-handers. Mm. The sensor in it is 8,000 dots per inch. And what that means in practice, a very precise mouse, even small movements will be picked up, but also that it will work on any surface. So you don't need a mouse mat. You can even work, even if you had a glass desk, it would work on a glass surface. The high resolution sensor means that works. It's got multiple programmable buttons on it, as has the keyboard itself. So it works very, very cleverly. As I say, you can connect up to three devices. You can automate repetitive tasks as well. So a single keystroke with their Logi Options Plus app means that you could press a single key, it'll open the app, it'll open a default document for you, it'll do a single button could fire up everything that you do in the morning, you know, when you come to your computer. It's a really nice thing. Or another button, for example, could put your name and address where you need it to insert it, or there's a bit of boilerplate text that you use.
There you can
just drop that in. So all in all, a really high quality unit. It's £199, which is not cheap. Having said that, it's cheaper than buying even two of these components together. If you were to buy the keyboard and mouse separately, it would cost more. And you get the palm rest, which also, when you buy it separately, isn't cheap. 4.5 stars out of 5, the Logitech MS Keys S combo.
Right. Now, I've been working on this for hours already. Well, from a mouse to cats.
Seamless.
With the Metacat 2023 from Elephant. So many animals involved here. The Elephant Robotics.
Right. So the company that makes it is called Elephant Robotics, a company based out in China, I think. And it's called the Metacat. And we call it Metacat 2023 because it is the upgraded cat. This is now the super. So this is a robotic cat. Okay. It's the size and shape of a real cat. The fur feels reasonably real. It comes in a variety of I was going to call it finishes, but furs, I suppose.
Yes. You've got color combos. Yes.
Yeah, you've got I think they call them ragdoll cats, and you've got really nice cats. Anyway, these cats they're sold by the company as being, you know, suitable as toys and so forth. You can do, and that's fine. I think the real use of this is for vulnerable adults, older people, people with dementia. Something like this can allow that person to form a real bond with a pet that they will see as real, they will treat as real, they will love as if it was alive. You know, I was quite conflicted about this because I thought, well, you know, in a way you're deceiving that person, right? Because you're giving them a robot, and you know, but when you see the way that the person can interact with it, and also it becomes a point of contact between family members and say that the person suffering from dementia, because it's something that they you know, they can talk about, they have it on their lap or in the bed or whatever.
No vet
it is.
Spills, never dies on you like real pets do.
No, it can die on you, but it's got a USB C socket, so you can recharge it.
You're quiet to come back to life again. It's a miracle.
And this one's got voice, so the way in which it's improved, it's got voice input, and it's got various sensors, so when you stroke it under the chin or its head or its back, it will respond.
Yes.
It meows. The eyes are a little bit scary.
Just about to say, I'm looking at the pictures, they're gorgeous, apart the eyes are not good. Cat's eyes are very beautiful and do not look at you as if they want, I mean, very often cats do want to murder you, in my opinion, but they don't look like they do. And these cats, which aren't going to try and do that, really, their eyes are scary.
The reason why they look like that is the eyes are actually little screens. The eyes are the windows to the soul. Well, that's why this is scary. But the eyes are little screens, and so the eyes can blink, the pupils can change, and you know, and all of that. So it's kind of realistic. They're not quite as bright and, or don't have to be as bright and scary as they appear in the pictures in reality.
Right.
But it's quite fun. So this thing, it's available from elephantrobotics.com, but also Amazon is selling them, I notice, or they're selling them through Amazon. You get a choice of 3 different fur colourings.
Yes.
But you can also buy it with outfits, and I suppose this is more for children. There's ones called Magic where they've got, I mean, they don't mention Harry Potter explicitly, but it's got a cape and a pair of round glasses, you know, John Lennon type glasses on. It's kind of interesting, and you can buy it with a bandana, a cowboy hat, and again round sunglasses in this case. So you can dress it up if you want to, but the basic cat is £150 odd. I think the fact buying it from somewhere, I mean, it doesn't have to be Amazon, but I noticed that they are selling it. Buying it with the option of a 30-day money-back guarantee, I think, for something like this is ideal.
You can't do that with a real cat.
Well, it's not just that. It's just that you can give it to the person that you're intending, and if they don't take to it, you can just send it back. But if they do, you keep it, you know, and I think that's quite important. I've sort of had that where, you know, give someone a dog, they don't like the dog, send the dog back, get a cat, you know, you know, it works really well. So all in all, 4 stars out of 5. Interesting the way these things are going, that these devices become companions. All right, to children and people with dementia, but eventually we will all have robotic companions in our homes.
Well, what a fascinating note on which to end. We'll do it again in 7 days' time.